Hello, everybody. Welcome to the Chelsea Echo. Welcome to your preview of Brighton away. It is the game I've been looking forward to the most this season after the Arsenal away game, playing Spurs at any point. United's always nice. You never know what's going to happen. But this is the one I'm like, do you know what? I just want to batter these. And it's the one I've been looking forward to the most. Like the annoying little brother who thinks they're better than you. But the reality is, you were just born later. I've got more life experience. And I'm going to do you in. That's exactly how I feel. And I'm going to stop ranting because I need to introduce Tom. Because we need to be positive. Because we did just have a fantastic victory against Nottingham Forest. But before we get into that, Tomas.
Hiya.
How are we?
Yeah, I'm great. I am great. Hungover again, as I said last time, I'm a bloody legend. but, you know, Chelsea can't stop winning. Two games left. We've nearly done it. Got to, you know, finish the season, I mean, by done it. And I mean that as in a podcast sense. You know, we've done it. It's been hard at times when we've been losing 5-0 to Arsenal. But yeah, life's good. The sun's out for the last time because it's not going to be out again next week.
Guns out, baby.
Guns are out.
Well, yeah, no, I mean, let's talk about Forest. We've got to go into that quickly. A big result, because I think when Callum Hudson-Odoi put the ball in the back of the net, most of us a few months ago would have been saying, okay, well, that's the game done. That's another 3 points potentially dropped. But Chelsea fought back in emphatic fashion. Reece James came onto the pitch and it took him about, I think it was 2 minutes and 52 seconds to get an assist after a fantastic pass from Moises Caicedo. I'm not going to call it a pre-assist because I'm not a dick.
It was the penultimate pass, but you know, yeah, same thing.
Well, I mean, the anti-penultimate pass came from a certain Conor Gallagher, I believe. So, you know, it's another example of why we love him. But look, a fantastic result. We are now level on points with Newcastle after they drop points against Brighton. Who, you know, we asked them to do us a favour. They failed. Surprise.
No, I think they succeeded. They got a point.
No. They were winning. We expect them to get the job done. They're banging about how they play beautiful football and they're a great team. Go and do it then. You failed.
Newcastle is a tough place to go, though. I expect them to get battered there. So I'm taking that as a good result.
Okay, fair enough. All right, we'll agree to disagree on that. But anyway, we have a real shot at Europe now. And I mean, I don't think we'll catch Spurs. I was on the phone to Gary for about an hour whilst he was driving back from Nottingham. And he is adamant, right, that we're going to finish above Spurs. He thinks they're going to lose both their games.
I said that before, that I think we might catch Spurs. But I thought they'd lose to Burnley, and then they didn't. I don't think they'll lose to Sheffield United. I think they get absolutely hammered by City. But that would still put them on, if we look at the table, which I have handily right up. That's the 6 points ahead of us now. We're level on games. So, yeah, they'd have to lose both, which is possible.
What's the goal difference right now as of recording?
It's the same, 12-12. We've scored more as well, so I think it goes to that next, doesn't it? Goal scored after goal difference.
Yeah.
If we did finish level with them right now, we would finish ahead of them. But I don't know. I'd be happy. I'm happy wherever now, as long as we get something, which I think we probably will. I would have taken that pre-season. I definitely would have taken that only a few weeks ago. So yeah. I mean, and now, you know, we've got two games left of the season against Brighton and Bournemouth, who quite literally are two teams who are on the beach. They have absolutely nothing to play for, and they are on beaches. So, yeah.
Did you do geography at GCSE, Tom?
No, I didn't. But there's definitely a beach in Brighton, maybe in Bournemouth. I feel like there is a beach in Bournemouth.
I mean, they are both on beaches, so, yes, and there are beaches on both of them.
You've made me scared there. Made me think that was a terrible comment. I was just stupid, but no.
I thought it was just, you know, just excellent knowledge, and it was good patter for you.
I was really happy with that, notoriously boring.
I was pretty good with it.
I was like, oh, this is quite a funny little bit of wit. You know, we try. But yeah, that's it. That's where we are. I mean, yeah, yesterday, like you say, I think at 2-1 down, and it was inevitable that Hudson-Odoi was going to score. Not only because he's in really good form, but just, you know, a player I love scoring against Chelsea. He didn't celebrate. I could tell inside he was buzzing, but he did the whole hands up thing. Like, yeah, fine. I think your first goal that you score against them, you do that. And then after that, I think you do what you want. Anyway, yeah, I don't know. Because that was a good goal. I thought all three of Chelsea's goals were really good, actually. I thought Mudryk's goal was good. That was a genuinely nice finish. Obviously, Palmer's pass is brilliant, but what a finish that is from Mudryk. And hopefully that's like a little bit of a confidence booster. Obviously Sterling has been missing for months, but then comes up with a pretty clutch goal to level up at 2-2, because they had so many men back then as well. Like, they were proper sitting in, which we've spoken about so many times this season, of Chelsea playing against the low block and how we've struggled. And it's moments like that that are actually massive, because then at 2-2, then Forrest are kind of like, meh. And then, you know, Reece James just unlocks it. As you say, a really good pass from Moises, who's now played really well, like, since Arsenal, he's played really well for 4 games in a row, I'd say. And Reece James, doesn't take long for him to get involved. And Nico again on the score sheet.
Now officially outscoring Didier Drogba, by the way, in his first season stats. And it's interesting. What I'm really enjoying is Arsenal fans right now are panicking with the Kai Havertz debate, because obviously one's been labelled a flop and one's been labelled this rejuvenated talent.
Is this Jackson and Havertz?
This is Jackson and Havertz, indeed. And Andreas on Twitter, when Havertz scored against Man United, they sat there and went, he's now a level with Jackson again. I'm like, in terms of goals and assists. And you sit there and you go, I think we rattled them a little bit with that, because a player, obviously Nico Jackson, I think it's fair to say, as we said on multiple occasions, he is nowhere near the finished product and maybe not the right man to lead the line for Chelsea, but is absolutely somebody who can grow into that role with the right guidance.
Yeah.
And I mean, for a second full season in professional football, I think if you take it looking at that rather than, I think, what, you know, I've been guilty of doing this season, which is just looking at it as, this is the Chelsea squad, what should our expectations be? As much as I've said that shouldn't be the case on occasions, sometimes, as many people do, you don't practice what you preach. Mm. And I've kind of fallen into that trap sometimes. But he's delivered, and he's getting more and more confident. And similar to his end of season at Villarreal, he's a bit of a purple patch, which is always
nice.
He likes
the warmth. I mean, he's got 14 Premier League goals in your first Premier League season, with 2 games to go as well, against teams who, you know, I think there's potential, there's scope there for goals, I think. Although, as we'll discuss later on, Brighton's defence has actually been quite good. Anyway, he could hit, like, I mean, I'd expect him to get one more, so that's 50, and I think that's a really good number. That's definitely the best. Obviously, Palmer's ahead of him, but in terms of a number 9 for Chelsea, that's the best since Tammy, which was 3-4 years ago now. He hit those numbers.
Mm-hmm.
And then, you know, obviously, we've had a couple of years of 7 and 7. And now we've actually got a genuine, not just Palmer scoring all his goals, and everyone's like, oh, he takes penalties. I think 9 of them have been pens of his, 21 goals. So, I mean, that's quite a lot of goals that weren't pens. And then Jackson chipping in with 14 or 15 or whatever he ends up on. And then I think Sterling might be on 7 as the next best. So definitely looking up in terms of the goal score. That's what, is it 71 goals we've got now? 73 goals we've got now. Considering last year, I think we scored, 38 in the entirety of last season. So we've doubled that pretty much. We will double it. Goals away is a problem, but we'll deal with that next year. Considering, I would say, our first choice defenders are currently both out in Colwell and Fofana. On paper at least, and Reece has been out and Chilwell's been out, so that's probably our first choice back four has been injured for pretty much the entire season. Obviously the whole season in Fofana's case, James has been out loads, Chilwell's been out on and off out, and then Colwell's been out for quite a long time, considering they didn't really specify how long he'd be out for. They just sort of said rehab requirement thing, and then he's still not back. But anyway, who cares? Trevor Chalobah is the boss. And we're on a roll. We're going on a European tour.
I'm looking forward to it. I'm looking forward to the tattoo on Tom's arse. We might even, I think at some point, it might be a case that we open it up to, you know, Chelsea fans that are graphic designers, and they can just decide.
It's not happening. You can get one. Why not?
I will get one. But, you know, I'll just do it to prove a point. But that means if I do it, you've got to do it. Because it wasn't me who said, you went, yeah, all right.
Yeah, but
all right,
like, how many times did you go, yeah, all right, to something just to sort of end the conversation?
Yeah, but it just doesn't work like that with me, mate. You should know. You've known me for long enough to know that if someone says, yeah, all right, listen.
It's not in writing.
A gentleman's word is his bond. That's true, you're not. Speaking of that, should we move on to Forgotten Banger? Because I'm sure you've got something very ungentlemanly to
probably
listen to.
Yeah.
What have you got for me this
Skater
week?
Skater boy, Avril Lavigne.
That is very ungentlemanly, yep. to be fair.
yeah, I just saw it on a list and I thought, ah, I'm pretty sure she's at Glastonbury. And that's where she's been in my mind. And that was a bit of a tune. Really reminds me of like Slug vibes. I think that always used to come on relatively early in the Slug night when you got your £1.50 or £2 Jaeger bombs, whatever they used to be.
Speaking of Slug, by the way, obviously it was rebranded as Redback. Yeah, it's gone.
I saw the article written.
It's
a crying shame. It's a crying shame. It is. But having said that, I've not been since it's changed to the Redback, which means I've not been since it, which was, I think, COVID time, maybe. So I've not been for a long time. I was told someone went, one of my mates went relatively recently, and they were like, yeah, it's just unbearable now because everyone there's like 18, 19, and obviously we're not that young anymore. And so you just feel really old. We graduated from that.
I mean, I had, when I went, it was just after the semi-final of the Rugby World Cup. So it was the final actually. So all the Saffers were in there.
There were always Saffers, Kiwis, Aussies everywhere in that place, which is fun. Uni summers. I used to go there every Wednesday. I'd go there and then I'd go to Fez on a Thursday.
Christ.
That's still cooking, but I would never go there again.
Oh, Fez is awful. I just think we reopened. You also got the Elk Bar, which was fantastic pre-game. You've got Redback sat there, right? I just think we should get it in the budget to open those back up and have that as one podcast HQ. But secondly, just let us do the playlists, run there the gaff, go. You know.
I think if it was a bar, bang.
Exactly. And I think I'd make a pretty good pub landlord.
I've always thought that about myself as well. I really like the idea. I mean, I know what a pub is. I know what I want in a pub, and I know what most people would want in a pub. So I think you would too.
Yeah, but I feel like you're country pub and I'm city pub.
Yeah, probably. Like, I feel like you're a country pub.
In the middle of nowhere with a dog sat by the fireplace. Mm. And then you've been in Somerset for so long that no one understands a word you say.
Yeah, and I've got a pint in my hand from 10 a.m. to 10 p.m. every day.
Specifically an IPA. It has to be an IPA.
Get there eventually. I heard it's an acquired taste. I personally am currently a lager man. Can't beat it. But yeah, if you're going to be a Somerset landlord, you won't be drinking that. You'll be drinking some £2.50 pint of piss.
Exactly. But anyway, R.I.P. Redback.
Yep.
On the Fulham Road.
It's gone.
There's nothing around. There's not a lot around there anymore. No. I'm not gonna lie. The Spoons is gone. Redback's gone. Elk's gone. The Chelsea Kitchen, where I used to go for meals pre-game, that's gone.
Got nothing left.
There's not a lot there. So, you know, we'll have to see what happens. But, you know, RIP, we'll move on. But yeah, I didn't give you my forgotten banger, did I?
No. That was a long-winded kind of random
trip down memory lane. I wouldn't even say that was a tangent.
I was going to say tangent, but then it kind of wasn't really a tangent because it was related to the banger. Anyway, that's that. Go. What's your banger this week?
I'm going for a little bit of foreign flavour, Thomas.
Interesting.
Alors on danse by Stromae.
Oui.
What a banger. Yeah. The thing is, I actually listen to a lot of him. And I like when people say, I really love him. I'm like, can you tell me another one of his songs? And no one ever can. It's fantastic.
No, but that, I approve of that. That's good. I think that's a pretty decent couple of songs there. People will approve of those in the old Chelsea Echo Pub, whatever we call it.
What would we call the Echo Pub? I still like when we came up with a pint name when me and you were both quite drunk one night.
With a Z.
Oh, yeah, Tangents. And Tangents with a Z, and I think it had to be quite almost like citrusy.
Yeah.
Like a mango beer.
Ooh,
oh,
I like that, but yeah.
Oh, mate, it'd be fantastic. Else? But, you know,
what would we call the pub?
Is what it is.
I don't know what we'd call it.
I know. I think the Golden Retriever, and it's just a picture of Conor Gallagher's head.
Fine. Your ID to get into the pub is your Chelsea membership.
Exactly. So I know there is a gentleman who does listen to the pod who has sent us multiple images of one George Bush and a giraffe discussing 9/11, me being chased by a bear, and it looks nothing like me, and other things. So if you could do us a massive favour, mate, as an avid listener and someone we very much love, could you send us an image of what the Golden Retriever pub on the Fulham Road would look like? And we kind of want an interior and exterior. And then for anybody who's interested, we will be putting some tweets out. Can you discuss with us what a pint of Tangents would taste like? Like, what's the ideal pint? Because obviously, John Obi Mikel, when we discussed with him, like, what is the perfect pint? He did say it just needs to be one which is going to get him there. So based on John Obi Mikel's logic, he wants a high percentage.
He's wanting like an 8-9% alcohol, 8-9% beer. But what is it going to taste like, John? Next time we'll have to ask him that question.
We will. We'll have that discussion with him, I'm pretty sure. We'll sort that out. I think that's something that needs to be done. Anyway, moving swiftly on. We do have to do one more bit of housekeeping, as per. So, Tomas, it's time for your penultimate big question of the week.
Yeah, well, the anti-penultimate one was fun. But now we're going to do the penultimate one, which, as it's Brighton, and I know how much you hate Brighton, and obviously, you know, we've bought Brighton, basically, in the last 2 years. I thought this week, the big question for you, my good friend, is can you name all of the staff / players that Chelsea have brought in from Brighton since Clearlake and Mr. Bowley and Egbali and co. took over our beautiful football club 2 years ago? Now, I have a list up here. I don't actually know how many it is. I never went to the bottom. three pages long, you know. Five.
No way is it 3 pages seven, long. You are having me on. Eight. No way that's 3 pages long.
9, 10... 11. 11 is how many there are.
11 people.
Probably should have done that earlier, but there are 11. So, yeah, if you can tell me. I don't know. I think you can get quite a lot of these. There's a few I've not heard of. But I mean, you get some of them.
I mean, I reckon there's a few names I won't get, but I'd know the faces.
Yeah.
So, if we'll start at the beginning. Obvious one, Marco Correa was the first one.
Yeah.
Then we got. Obviously, Graham Potter and his backroom staff. Mm. So the names I can't give you there without cheating, and that's not the game. But I'm guessing that must be about 3 or 4 of them, right?
Well, there's one who I think you should get.
Bruno Saltor.
Yes.
Big Bruno.
He famously managed Chelsea for one match. Is that how many have you got there? Four? Four?
I think there's a 3-4 Potter. Must be 4 of my stuff. Cucurella, Potter, Saltor. Bruno, right, Saltor. So
there's can you tell me their roles?
The assistant manager,
which was Bruno.
There was the other bloke with the big
the kind of
the short stout fella who looks a bit like me
right now. At a very English then I'm name. Guessing we you're never going to get it, Smith. So I'll just say it. Billy Reid.
Yeah, I wouldn't have got that. Then you got, was like the head of data analytics or something like that we got as well. From that same group. So that's 5.
Yeah, so there's, Bjorn Hamburg, I think is who you're thinking of there.
Yeah, okay. Paul Winstanley.
Yeah, your favourite.
Yeah.
Oh, sorry, no, the one you were thinking of was Kyle McCauley. But Bjorn Hamburg was another one who came with Potter from...
Okay, so I wouldn't have got that one. I said there was 3 that came with him. Was it 4 that I said
I think
that came with him?
4 that came with him. But yeah, so that's
okay. So,
So that's what 4 plus Winstanley.
4 members of staff. Potter plus Winstanley.
Cucurella, you said.
Yeah.
So there are.
So that's 7. For another 4,
I believe.
So Paul Jewell, who's arrived recently.
Sorry, who'd you say?
Paul Jewell.
Jewel is not Paul though, but it is it.
Oh no, Paul Jewell's his dad.
It is him, yes. He started like 3 days ago, I think. But yes, Sam.
Yeah,
Sam Jewell.
Sam Jewell. His dad's Paul Jewell, the manager who infamously has a sex tape and was manager of Derby in the season they went down. Moises Caicedo, yep. Bobby Sanchez. Yep. So I've got 2 more, right?
How many have you done? That's 10. No, you got 1 more. Who? Oh God, who is that? Wait, hang on. So you've got
the fact you're like, who is
it's
that?
It's because it's on... No, as in, who have you not got? It's because it's in this article that is one of those annoying, like, 3-page ones that you've got to go click through. Okay, yeah, there is 1 more.
Should I get it? Or
no,
is it one
you might be able to get his role, but you wouldn't be able to get... So he's obviously not a player. He came with Potter as well, another coaching person.
Oh, so 5 came with Potter.
Yeah.
So, okay, so it's backroom staff.
Yeah, Ben Roberts, who's a goalkeeper coach.
Oh no, I read about him because he was the one who obviously recommended that we get Bobby Sanchez, but then he's got demoted and Hilario got re-promoted to being the head of keeping again.
Big up Hilario. I think he'll just be there forever.
Yeah, he's like the new Christoph Lulachon.
It's just whenever you see the Chelsea bench, there's always just going to be that reassuring presence of, oh, there he is. You're going to look at it. Whoever the manager is, and then the assistant manager, and whoever else they brought with them, there's going to be that, where is he? There he is. There's Henrique. Just chilling.
But is that Cudicini still at Chelsea as well?
Is he?
Cudicini's still there, yeah. So there are some
were
old
they
guards
there, were they
remain.
There when Cech was there? Because that's quite funny. If
yes.
We had all three
yes.
of our goalkeeping trio yeah. at one time. Good times.
What I mean, there is a debate of whether or not Cech, Cudicini, or Cech and Courtois, which one was the better combination. But I could be wrong about that.
Also, just sorry while we're on these players, did you see that goal that Joe Cole scored?
Which one?
He scored a goal.
There's a few.
Well, no, but as in like a recent game. He was playing in like a Sunday league game and he scored an absolute worldie.
No?
Look it up. He scored
like
wasn't
playing for Imperial Wolf.
No, he scored like a chip. He lobbed the keeper in like a really audacious, kind of effortless way that really, like, Joe Cole was a baller. Really was.
Oh, yeah. I might have to get on the phone. Sunday league versus Joe Cole 5 hours ago. He was against SC Dons. Let me have a look at this. Hang on, here we go. I've got it here. Sublime Sunday league strike. And come on. Close. Oh, my God. I absolutely hate news websites online. I get it. I want your cookies. Can you just let me look at the fucking video? Oh, my God. Just hate it. Right. Fuck it. We're going to the Empire of the Cop. Let's have a look. Oh, my God. Another one. Just let me look at it. Right. Here we go. Got it here. Look at that. Oh, what a touch. Oh, my goodness gracious me. Yep. That. Tom, is what is can only be described as pure Benevento. That's what you need.
It's a bloody weldy.
That was different gear, mate. Yeah. I am all over
just,
that.
Just a reminder of how good he used to be. I just thought, oh wow, fair enough, fair play.
that's gonna have to go out as a tweet. I have a little bit of that, Joe Cole. Thank you very much. but anyway, we're done with that now. Stat Shaggers is next, and he's the only part of the show that's a theme tune. Let's take it away, shall we?
The Chelsea Echo presents Stat Shaggers.
Okay, yes, it's Stat Shaggers. The penultimate one after an excellent anti-penultimate one. And just like the anti-penultimate one, the penultimate one is quite short. Because, as I said, and in fact, it's quite a nice little time because Brighton, the other game, the home game against Brighton in the Premier League, was actually the first Stat Shaggers episode. Obviously, we've done a few episodes, but it was the first one where Stat Shaggers were actually introduced. I don't think it was called Stat Shaggers at the time, but it was the first time stats would have their own little section. And so it's a nice little ring round that we've kind of almost come to the very last game of the season. Obviously not, it's the penultimate one, but there we go, Brighton. And as I said in that episode, for those that have listened since then, we haven't played Brighton many times. I'm not going to repeat myself too much, and therefore, having not played them too much and not repeating myself, it's a relatively short Stat Shagger. Sorry to disappoint those fellow shaggers of stats out there. I know you're out there somewhere in your Excel room just looking at... Yeah, just... Anyway. Yeah, so Brighton, we played them 22 times. That's it. In our entire history. And their history, I suppose. It's a joint venture, this. We've won 14, we've drawn 5, and only lost to Brighton 3 times. As I said, I'm not going to repeat myself too much on those losses, but for a little bit of revision, one of them was in 1933... So I don't think that will have much bearing on the kind of performance of this particular game. And 2 of them were last season, the 4-1 and 1-2, respectively. Brighton doing a double over us last year. Hopefully we can get a bit of revenge on them this year. So since Brighton were promoted in 2017, there have been 13 Premier League matches between these two teams. Chelsea won the first 5, conceding only once in that process. Since then, though, there has been a bit of a change. 8 matches, Chelsea win 2, Brighton winning 2, and 4 draws. So there you go. It's been not amazing in that little last 8 games against Brighton. But as I say, we have only lost 3 times against them in our entire history. Since that time, as I say, we've gone on and had a little bit of a good run and a bad run at times. But last time out, we did win 3-2, and we also beat them in the League Cup 1-0. So this season we're 2-2. 3-2 win, as I said. Enzo scoring a brace, a penalty in the 65th minute, and a goal earlier on. And Levi Colwill, which was very amusing, scored.
Oh, the person who should have stayed at Brighton.
Yeah,
in fact, he was on loan for a
Brighton
season.
The Brighton player that we signed.
The Brighton player.
Yeah, we signed him for like 400 million.
Yeah.
Oh wait, no, he was our player, and you tried to gatekeep him which you can't do on a loan player. They say never fall in love with a loan player. You did, you suckers. And now he's back with Chelsea. And as he's back with Chelsea, he's injured, because that's how it works. Anyway, yes, so that was the last time we played them. The manager record, Pochettino, has almost played Brighton as many times as Chelsea have. Not really, but funny. Anyway, he's had a great record against Brighton before coming to Chelsea. But his record now is even better. 8 matches in total against the Seagulls. Poch has won 6, including 2 this season, of course, in the League Cup and the Premier League. He has only lost once, which was a 3-0 drubbing when he was at Spurs in October of 2019. And he drew once in April 2018. So as obviously said, they're a very good record for Poch against Brighton. But at the Amex, which is of course where this match is happening, he has only won once. He's drawn once and he's lost once. So only played 3, but only won 1. So not such a good record at the Amex. Hopefully he can extend that to 2 wins this week. Brighton, their recent form, well, they haven't been great, really, have they? Last 2 results have been better, has to be said. A win and a draw against Aston Villa and Newcastle, only conceding once in that time as well. But largely this season, they have been quite disappointing. I think that's fair to say. 10th overall in the table, 12 wins, 12 draws and 12 losses. That win over Forest last, not Forest, that's who Chelsea played. That win over Aston Villa, sorry, last Sunday.
Do that again. Give it clean.
That win over Aston Villa last Sunday was their first in the Premier League for almost 2 months, losing heavily to Bournemouth, Manchester City and Arsenal in that run. In 2024, they sit 14th in the annual table, winning only 4 matches since the turn of the year, and they've scored only 16 goals in 17 matches. Only Everton have scored fewer in that time. They have only conceded 25, though, which is the 6th best defence in that metric this year in 2024. So they might not be that easy to break down, despite playing their open football. But at the moment, they don't seem to be able to score many goals. But yeah, that's that. That's the stats. The shagging has been done. The penultimate one is done. And I'll have one more for you, which will be Bournemouth. And then maybe I'll cook something up as a little post-season treat, depending on how I'm feeling. I might be really tired by then and enough stats until the next year. But I'll keep you posted. But anyway, it's back to you in the studio, Louis.
Thank you very much, Tomas. It's funny that. I thought Brighton was this really, really good team that everyone loved and played beautiful football, but they sound like they're pretty shit, to be honest. So I'm enjoying this. Every single delicious tear. You know that thing, there's like a clip that went viral on Facebook years ago and it still comes around every so often. That Paddy Power clip of the Arsenal fan who got the tickets in the Stoke end when Arsenal lost or Arsenal won. That's how I feel about Brighton. Just go back down to the Championship. Mind your business. Mind your next.
I saw that.
You're just a glorified Southampton.
I saw that. It came back up the other day on my Twitter. Really, really funny.
Just delicious tears. I want those salty tears. I want to drink them like a bottle of Evian. Other water supplies are available if they want to sponsor us. But you know, outside of that, we'll move swiftly on. It's time for the Echo 11, Tomas.
Yes. I think this is probably the most interesting one in a while.
It is. We actually seem to have a bench, which
we do. We have decisions to make. Crazy.
And that's dangerous. Me and Tom making decisions is
we don't normally see completely eye to eye, but that's half the fun.
No. But I mean, anyway, first steps. What are we doing? Who's going in goal for the Echo 11?
That's probably the nice, easy decision. Mr. Petrovic keeps his spot. To me, he's obviously no Manuel Neuer, but he's a decent keeper, and I think he's got a future. And I think we keep you in goal. And I certainly wouldn't play Bobby Sanchez over him. So that's an easy one for me. I'm assuming it's the same for you.
No, it's the same for me. I'd say we bring Bobby Sanchez on in the 85th minute, 1-3 up. And let
so they can boo him. Yeah.
Yeah, yeah. Boo, you left us. Boo.
Yeah, oh no, our third choice goalkeeper left us for 25 million.
What's wrong with you?
Oh no. Stupid.
Oh, it does my head in. But anyway, that's that. In terms of the rest, the back line, Tom.
This is interesting. I think it's,
Where do we go? Where do we go?
It's hard because they've actually been playing really well. And Thiago Silva, you're like, I think maybe you don't play Thiago Silva in this game because I think you definitely do against Bournemouth. I know, obviously, we want to win these two games to make sure to give us the best shot at finishing sixth or maybe possibly fifth if Spurs go really Spursy. And therefore we need 6 points. But I would not play Silva and I would not play Badiashile. So I would therefore have to play 2 different centre-backs. I would play Trevor at centre-back, which does mean someone will come in on the right. Levi Colwill is there. Is he fit enough to start? You hope so. If he's on the bench, surely he's fit enough to play. Let's get him in. Let's give him a game. Oh, or actually, no, I'm not even going to suggest a sassy. So, Trevor Chalobert. I mean, if Silva can play, fine. Silva can play. Or Badiashile would be fine, I guess. Badiashile and Chalobert play quite well together, so that would be fine. I just don't... I want Silva to play against Bournemouth so he can have one more game at Stamford Bridge. Well, I guess he could come off the bench in that game. I don't know. Basically, it's difficult. We actually have options. At the end of the season, all our players seem to be fit again. And it'd be nice that we can keep that for next season. So I don't want to rush people back. However, I think that one of Malo Gusto or Reece James start, and I know that it's not Reece James because I do not want him to play a full 90 yet. So I'm starting Malo Gusto in this game. And I'm definitely starting Mark Kukure, not just because he's actually been playing quite well. It's a lot of humble pie every week, but also because this is former Brighton player, it's funny.
Yeah, no, I mean, the only reason I'm thinking about starting Levi Colwill is because it's Brighton. But I need to stop my pride getting in the way of an actual result.
Well,
because that's what we need.
Yes.
It's more important.
I don't know, because he's not played football in a while. He is very good, and he... But you don't want to necessarily, you know, he didn't even come on the bench against Forest or anything. Okay, fine. So I'm saying, because I've never really fully answered the question there, I'm saying Kukurea, Badiashile, Chalobert, yep. Gusto.
Okay.
That's my back four.
I agree with that. That's a very good back four. Midfield, I'm guessing we don't change
I
at all.
I am not touching
exactly
that midfield five, no. Or I suppose midfield three, technically. But no, yes, I'm leaving Caicedo, Gallagher, Palmer. They can keep cooking.
They look good.
Yep, they do.
If you watch it more and more, does Enzo Fernandez
Well, that's
start?
That is going to be a problem for well, whoever's the manager next year. At the moment, it would look silly that it won't be Poch, but who knows what's going on behind the scenes.
It was mad, that comment he made, though, wasn't it? That comment
yeah.
he made for the preview was like, oh, really? Okay, right.
Yeah.
So, yeah, we'll have to see what's going on behind
yeah.
the scenes.
Well,
interesting,
indeed.
To say
yeah, but
least.
I think, I don't know, that's a it's a good problem to have, Enzo. I'm assuming he's like a fully fit Enzo again. He has to play because he's unbelievable. Where he plays is where it becomes a problem. But then, presumably, we'll be playing in some kind of Europe. We'll have even more games than we've had this year, considering we got to, obviously, the final of one cup and the semi-final of another. So we had pretty much as many games we could have possibly had this year, and we've had so many mm-hmm. injuries. Imagine adding in another. Let's hope we get to the latter stages or even win whatever European competition we're in. That's a lot of games you're adding in. So I think there'll be a rotation. I think we've got the squad ready for it, to be honest, with three or four astute additions. But, yeah, obviously Enzo is not playing this week because he's injured. So, yeah, Gallagher. Caicedo, Palmer, midfield. That's not up for debate. What might be up for debate is the front three. I am personally not changing it, but maybe you are.
No, I think it stays the same. I was very impressed with Mudryk. It was a good finish. I think it shows that there is a sign of growth. And to be honest as well, I mean, I don't know who else you could really bring straight into that side unless you wanted to put Raheem Sterling in, but he seems to be so much more effective coming off the bench as an option. I like the idea of Mudryk's pace, trying to get him behind that Brighton back line. You know, they'll make, you know, these amazing vertical passes and these triangles and the half turn and all this rubbish, and he'll just pick it up and
run,
leg it, which is what I'm a big fan of. So hopefully, you know, we can get the best out of him with that. Madueke, I thought about it when I was actually having a little... I was having, you know, when you have those shower thoughts, so you know when you're listening to the fray and hiding your tears, I actually think about the Chelsea 11. That's my thing. So I'm kind of looking at it and going, Madueke didn't really show as much as he normally does against Forest. But at the same time, I'm not sure if you would drop him, to be honest. The only reason I could think of dropping him would be moving Palmer back out to the right and playing Nkunku in the 10, which I think could be an interesting option. But again, you don't want him to be re-injured and out for another 6 months.
No, because that's the thing. I think Nkunku and to some extent Wesley Fofana, hopefully, touch wood, and even Reece, are going to be like new signings next season. And it would be nice if they actually can come in and just fire away and get going. And therefore, obviously, we've got two games now and then pre-season, and we need to really manage them well so that coming into the first game of next year, which will be, what, about 3 months from now, we're ready to go and hopefully, you know, I think next year we should be challenging for top four. So, you know, looking at the way we've gone now and looking at the other teams around us. But, you know, if we have 14 injuries every week, that becomes difficult. So, yeah.
Mm. Exactly. Well, I mean, so are we sticking with that 11 then?
I think
we're not making any
changes? I'm bringing Gusto for Silva, basically. That's my one change, just so that Silva's fit to play, hopefully a starring role against Bournemouth. He nearly scored yesterday, which would have been quite nice, but just came off the post. But, yeah, I like that team.
Well, I'm looking forward to it, as is Tom. Hopefully, we can get the job done, because we need to get over this Brighton fever. Have we learned from it, Tom? Are we going to sign the cleaner on an 8-year contract? Like, hopefully we realise that maybe Brighton aren't actually all that.
I think the Amex is pretty spotless, actually. So maybe the cleaner would be a good signing. Also, not handy little goalkeeper. Anyway, I don't know. The thing is, I don't mind signing players from Brighton if they're actually good players, and I don't want to overpay for them. Caicedo is a genuinely good player. We overpaid massively for Cucurella, whether he's playing well or not. £62 million for him is a lot of money, and I think we overpaid. I think we probably overpaid for Sanchez as well, because ultimately £25 million doesn't sound like a lot, but for a keeper who's now become second choice at Chelsea and was effectively third choice at Brighton, I think that's a lot of money we spent on him. But yeah, I mean, I look at their squad now and I go, do I want anyone from them? And I'm like, no, not really. The only one who potentially could be one that you would look at is Evan Ferguson, but he's going to cost so much money, and I don't want another child up front. We've already got Jackson as our project, I suppose, so no point. So the answer to your question, once again, long-winded, is I think we might have learnt. I really do. But we'll see.
We'll have to see. I guarantee something can happen in the summer. Hopefully, Sam Jewell is the last one and will be the jewel.
I was going
to
say.
In the crown.
Nice. Yeah, nice.
Yeah. Same wavelength. Yeah, great. Good. Nice. Anyway, that is that, ladies and gentlemen. That is the analysis section, Act 3. But as it is coming towards the back end of the season, there's something we have to start doing now. Ladies and gentlemen, it's time for any other business. Or as Tom calls it, Alb.
Alb. Yep, Alb is back. And it's back with a vengeance. We heard from Mr. Ornstein that Chelsea are going to comply with the profit and sustainability rules in FFP for the 2023-24 season and do not have to sell players this season, which means we do not have to rush to sell people before June the 30th, like many people have been saying for a long time. We do, however, have to, obviously get rid of people ahead of the 24-5 season, which means we've got basically an entire year to get in line there, and obviously there'll be more players coming in too. So there will still have to be sales made, but they now don't have to be rushed, which means we're not desperate, which means they don't have to go for peanuts. So overall, that is a very positive thing. FFP, 0, Chelsea 1. Ha!
I love that. I think it's massive, massive news that. Whether or not it means that Conor Gallagher is still going to stay, obviously I think Ian Matson's already on his way out of the door, which is a shame. So I think he could have been a fantastic asset for Chelsea.
One thing I will say, sorry to interrupt, one thing I will say, and whether you agree or disagree in terms of the players who are leaving, this board are really, really good at selling players. What they did last year was actually incredible. Getting rid of those players, getting them out for the money they got as well. They weren't selling them for cheap. They were getting proper good money. And now that we're in this position, as I say, where we don't have to rush, teams around the world aren't going to know, oh, they have to sell, so we're going to get them for cheap. We're in a position of strength in terms of selling. And as we don't have to sell, hopefully, there can be a bit more sort of, right, what do we need to do in terms of Gallagher and Chalobah? And if they do go, which I hope they don't, but if they do, then hopefully we can make significant fees for them to at least kind of balance out the books in a positive way. But let's hope they don't and we get rid of some other players. Matson is a shame, like you say, but I think that's £35 million. It's quite a lot of money for a player who effectively never was really given a chance. Might even be a Champions League winner by then, which would be interesting.
Do you think if he does win the Champions League, they'll look at him and they'll go, do you know what? Maybe we could work with him here. Maybe there's something we could do. Or do you think it's a case of, it's too far gone now, Ian Matson is realistically a Borussia Dortmund player?
I think they've made their decision on him, and it's that. And also Dortmund obviously very keen on them. They don't have the same financial, big hitting prowess of the Premier League. So £35 million for Dortmund is a lot of money. And I think it'll be interesting because I think they're going to want Sancho again. I think Sancho's going to want to stay there again because he's looked unbelievable. But whether they can afford to buy him, whether United will just take the loss on him and get rid of him for whatever they pay, or whether he'll go on a loan is interesting. But I think Matson, like you say, he's effectively a Dortmund player now, isn't he? We see it quite a lot. Players go on loan, they love it. They've got a buyout clause in, and then it's just a simple kind of transition from being on loan to being their player permanently, which is, as I say, it's a shame. I think Matson, out of Chilwell, Cucurella, Matson, I think he might be the best. He is short. He's 5'6". And they've made a lot of talk about that. Obviously, in Europe, it's not been a problem. He's been playing really well. But I do, you know, you have to wonder in the Premier League if, you know, there are some big players in the Premier League. It is the most physically demanding league in out of the top five leagues. And I wonder if that's why they're thinking it. So, you know, Cucurella and Chilwell are not exactly giants, but they're certainly taller than 5'6". And I can see why. I can see their reasoning for that. But let's hope they're right. And those two continue to improve. And we don't regret selling Ian Matson like some other players that have gone in the past.
Yeah, I think that's the thing which a lot of people are worried about, is that the haunting of almost Ian Matson leaving Chelsea and coming back to, I don't know, Man City or something like that to really prove his worth.
Yeah.
And I think realistically that's probably what we're going to see. You know, Manchester City need a left back at some point, and he's definitely someone people are going to be sniffing around. And if he's not at Chelsea, he'll go somewhere else. But I'll have to see what happens with that. But massive news in regards to PSR and, of course, FFP. Have that, FIFA. Have that, UEFA. Have all of you, Premier League. You think you can get us? You can't. Have it. Some of that. Bosh. Tom, what's next on Alb?
I just wanted to have one more comment, because the next thing on Alb is very much for you and you only. Yes, that must be particularly gut-wrenching. Seeing that, if you're a Nottingham Forest or an Everton fan, obviously it looks like they're both going to stay up this season, and therefore it hasn't really had a massive effect on them, the points deductions. But you know, when your club's like them and they've been done, and then you watch Chelsea spend as much as they have, it must be quite frustrating that they haven't been done. But that's because we're clever. These guys, whilst they might not know much about football, and I do think they are learning, they are very, very good businessmen, and they have outdone you all. And that is all I'll say on that matter. The next matter on Alb. And I apologise in advance to everyone, because we've had this for the last two or three episodes. But this one, it actually is appropriate, so I'll allow it. It's Louis' weekly Brighton rant. Louis, here you go, kick off. You have exactly 3 minutes to do this.
3 minutes?
Because we've had it the last 2 weeks. Okay. I'm going to time it. When it hits 3 minutes, I'm going to immediately interrupt you, and we're going to move on to the last bit of Alb, which is essentially just a statement. And basically, we're going to end the episode. So this is essentially the concluding part of the Brighton episode. The episode that you have said you've been looking forward to more than any other this season, pretty much. So make it count. And let me just get my stopwatch up. And then I'll leave it over to you to get your anger out on Brighton once again. So off you go, mate.
So, Brighton Hove Albion. It's come down to it. You, sitting below us, once again, reminded of the pathetic small club from Sussex you are. You're not even the biggest one. Lewis are bigger than you, and they actually pay people equally. You are basically misogynistic. You and Tony Bloom and Paul Barber with your bald head saying that teams can get more history and do whatever. I'll have you know, Paul, that Chelsea have won more than Liverpool over the past few years, and we are a far more prestigious club in every single one of those players' lifetimes. But that's not where it ends. No. Roberto, I've got some words for you, mate. I've got some things I want to say. You have proved to everybody that you basically should work in a vape shop. You look exactly like my cousin, and he sells dodgy things off the back of a market stall which have fallen off the back of a lorry in the local village. I'm not going to give his name, because if I give his name, the police will get him, and I'm not having to deal with that. Now, I'm not even done yet. I've got words for the geezer who looks like he owns a van which only sells vegan brownies. You, mate, your fluffy jumper, your Carhartt jumper, your bloody Carhartt hat, your shitty shoes that you were wearing. Have it. You want to see a seagull maul a lion? How about a lion mauls a seagull? Have some of that. Gonna get it. 3 points, and I want to get a ticket so I can see those delicious tears up close. Enjoy the championship when you're back down there.
You done?
Is that 3 minutes? Yeah, I'm done.
That was 2 minutes and 20 seconds. So actually, you had 40 seconds longer, but I think you ended that well. You got it all out. That was a rousing speech. I hope you know, yeah. Send that to the players.
I believe Icar will absolutely trounces you and scores from 40 yards.
He's carrying on. Okay. Done now? Sorry, Dad, I'm done. Right, well, there you go. That's
I hope Moises Caicedo scores from 60 yards. I hope Bobby Sanchez scores a bicycle kick with his receding hairline. I hope you had to pay for his flights to Turkey. Have some of that.
Okay, you've now definitely hit your 3 minutes, and therefore you've had your. That's Louis Weekly Brighton rant. I hope you enjoyed it more than I did. I've had it all the time the last two or three episodes, and as I say, this week it actually was appropriate, so I had to allow it, and actually even wrote it into the script because I knew we'd have to buy some time for it at some point. So why not?
I also even took my glasses off. I got
you
really
did.
Intense.
Yes,
so I kind of just went into my little world, some water after to kind of.
Yeah, get the mouth back working. Anyway, two games left of this season now for Chelsea. As I say, they're both on the beach, quite literally. And we are heading down to Brighton before welcoming Bournemouth on the final day with everything to play for. Who would have thought that just a few weeks ago? As I say, so close to doing something actually quite impressive given the season, the injuries, the ups, the downs, the youth of the squad, the new manager, and just generally everything that comes with that. And so, as I say every week, up the Chelsea. Let's do it. And Louis, I'll let you sign off because you do it better than me. But for me, see you later.
Thank you very much, Tom. And that is Alb. And this has been the Chelsea Echo, your preview for Brighton away at the stadium, which is named after a card because they can't afford to pay for their own sponsorship. This has been a Sideline production. Make sure you follow the Chelsea Echo socials because we will be very much in amongst it over the next few weeks. And obviously, with the transfer window coming up, there is so much more to come from Tom and myself. Make sure you engage with the Echo. If you do have Twitter, it means a lot. It really helps us. And obviously as well, if you haven't already, please share us. We really appreciate everyone that shares the pod. If you see it on Twitter, a cheeky retweet, let people know that we are in the content game and we are the fastest growing Chelsea podcast on the planet. Remind people of that. Tell your pals, tell your family, tell your dog, spread the word. And ladies and gentlemen, up the Chelsea, two games to go. Let's go batter Brighton. And then enjoy the last game of the season. Ta-da.